Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Isaiah 45, 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. And we're continuing in our series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. Yesterday and today, we're looking at Finding Treasures in Darkness. And Kay Warren, Pastor Rick Warren's wife, shared the importance of concealed treasure in the darkness of suffering can be used of God to bring hope, healing, and comfort. It's kind of counterintuitive, and yet oftentimes in deep sorrow, anguish, confusion, and hurt, God will bring about supernatural healing and hope that can be used in a myriad of ways. Yesterday, Kay covered a number of ways and practical illustrations on how she and others find healing and growth through sadness and dark times. Today, she'll give two more insights, helping us know that God has the power to intervene in our darkness and that God will be close to those that are hurting, experiencing pain, suffering, and heartache. Kay will also help us understand how times of darkness can lead to worship and that there are many ways to praise God even during pain. I'll re-air about 1 minute from yesterday, and then Kay Warren will continue with her Finding Treasure in Darkness.
So this verse says that he gives us treasures in the darkness. I wonder if you would be thinking of some of those treasures as you're going through the darkness that you're experiencing. It may not be the grief and the loss of a loved one. As Rick has been saying, it could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of a friendship. It could be the loss of your health. It could be the loss of your finances. It can be any loss. But in that darkness, looking for the treasures that are hidden in there. But he says that he gives us treasures in the darkness, riches, so that we would know. Write that down. So that we would know. Let me say it again. So that we would know. He says, I'm giving you these treasures, these riches, so that you would know. And we've been talking throughout this entire series that the way to get through whatever it is you're going through is based on what you know. So let me give you two more things, two more truths that you need to know that will help you get through any darkness that you're experiencing. This is it. God has the power to intervene in our darkness. God has the power to intervene in our darkness. He reveals himself in this verse. He says, I am the Lord, the God of Israel. He's saying, I'm it. I'm God, and there's nobody like me. He's transcendent. That means he's above time. He's above space. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is bigger than the universe we occupy. There is no one else like God. He is the only being who can say he is transcendent and that no one can compare to him. Isaiah 57:15 says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. The Bible identifies him as the high and lofty one who lives in eternity. There's not a single other being that can say that about themselves. There is no other one but God who is transcendent, who is above it all. He is the only one who dwells like that in eternity. And he is huge and he is powerful and he can intervene in our darkness in ways that only a transcendent God can do. And some of you have stories to tell. If you were to stop and think about it, if you were to be able to think about the times where you thought there's no rescue coming, there's nothing that's going to bail us out, nothing is going to save this relationship, nothing is going to save this person from death, nothing is going to make any difference. And then this huge transcendent God moves in. And he does something in your life and he intervenes and what you thought was hopeless and would never change, changes. He's like that. And it's a reason to praise him. I think of two instances in our family life with our grandson Cole and our daughter-in-law Jamie. When Jamie gave birth to Cole 5 years ago, he came 5 weeks early and he was breech and there was had to be an emergency C-section. And that in itself is okay. That happens all the time. But Cole's got a big little head. And the doctor didn't quite leave a big enough hole for Cole's head to come out. And so there was some trouble in the delivery and Cole nearly died. It was a very scary, frightening time. And we paced the halls there at Saddleback Hospital, waiting anxiously to see if Cole was going to be okay. God intervened. God used amazing doctors and nurses, and Cole is okay. And then Jamie, his mother, 7 weeks later, diagnosed with a massive brain tumor and had three brain surgeries. Many of you were in the church at the time and you prayed so faithfully for Jamie. And Jamie should have died three different times because that tumor was huge. And she had a brain bleed following it. And then she had to have another surgery. And then at the very least, Jamie should have been left with severe disabilities. And Jamie is not. Jamie is whole and Jamie is healthy. And God miraculously intervened. And I praise him for the ways that he's intervened in our family, in our darkness. Amen. So in your darkness, ask this big, huge, gigantic, massive, transcendent, powerful, mighty God to intervene, to interject himself into the darkness that you and your family are going through, and ask him to intervene in such a way that only a God like him could get the credit for it. Sometimes God intervenes in ways just exactly like that, ways that we beg him to. And other times, this massively mighty and powerful God does not intervene. He did not intervene and keep Matthew from taking his life. Some of you could also say of the times that where God did not intervene and what you dreaded would happen did happen and what you weren't expecting or were hoping didn't happen happened anyway. What do you do when God doesn't intervene? Well, that leads us to the next thing that we know. God says in this verse that he will be close to us in our darkness. Whether he intervenes miraculously or not, God will be close to us in our darkness. This verse says, who summons you by name. He says, I'm giving you these treasures of darkness, riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the majestic, the transcendent God of Israel. And then he moves it from the gigantic down to the most personal. The God who calls you by name. That's a God who is near. That's a God who's close by. You know, there is nothing more personal to us as our names. Nothing more personal than our names. I mean, to name a baby is a major undertaking today. And there is a lucrative business in baby names books. Any of you in that stage of life, you know, you probably got a stack of baby name books. It's a big deal. And one of the very first things we teach our children is to respond to their name, because their name is so personal. It's so intimate. My parents named me Elizabeth K. Lewis, but they never called me anything but K. And so I would dread those first days of school when the teacher would do the roll call and she'd say, Elizabeth Lewis, Elizabeth Lewis, Elizabeth Lewis. And I'd kind of go, oh, that's me, because it didn't sound like me. To this day, to go into a new doctor's office or a new business, someone, they'll say Elizabeth Warren, and it takes me a while to realize they're talking to me. And anybody who calls and says, hi, Elizabeth, I know that it's a sales call because they don't know me. I'm not Elizabeth. I'm Kay. It's not me. But God, this huge, majestic, transcendent God who intervenes in our darkness, is an intimate, personal, close, and near God. And he knows our names. We used to sing a song here at Saddleback called He Knows My Name. And many times it would make me cry, because just something about that thought, that this God who created the world that we look at as we look out these windows, when we think of the God who puts breath in our lungs, the God who flung the stars into space and keeps it all up there by the power of his word and his name, that God knows my name often brings me to tears. It's so personal. Acts 17:27 says, so that we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's what? Near. He's near. And when God gave the prophecy about Jesus Christ in Isaiah, he said, you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this God who gives us treasures in the darkness, this God who has secret riches hidden in the times of suffering, this God who is so gigantic and massive and mighty, who can transcend and intervene in our lives, this God is personal. This God is personal. And when we know that he's hidden riches in our dark times, when we know that he's big enough and powerful enough to be a part of our lives in miraculous ways, when we know that he wants to be close to us, he's personal, he's intimate, he knows us by name. To me, it only leads us one place. It can only lead. What we know leads us to worship. What we know about God is revealed, even in just this one verse, leads us to worship. In that very familiar story of Job, story of a man who loses everything in just a matter of hours and days. This man who loses everything that is dear to him. You and I, our response might not be the same as Job, but what he knew about God led him to worship. Look at Job 1, 20 and 21. At this, the news that he received, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. And then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." From almost the moment that we realized that probably Matthew had taken his life, while we were waiting, we've told you this, Rick and I made our very first feeble attempts to worship. I had, as I told you, gotten up that morning and put on intentionally a necklace that says, "Choose joy." And as we waited outside his house, Rick and I clasped this necklace together in an attempt to do as Job did, which is to say, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. We will choose joy." And as these terrible days have gone by, we're all of our family, we're looking for things to praise God for treasures, for things that will lead us into worship. Sometimes those things could be unnoticed, but we're on an intentional search for those blessings hidden in the mess, for the joys that are found even in the sorrow. At Matthew's memorial service, we picked songs. Our family chose songs that reflected our faith, our hope, our trust, and our worship to a God that we would love even through our tears and our grief and our pain. Worship, you guys, is a treasure in the darkness. If you are going through a dark time, if you are going through a time of suffering, if you're feeling like those verses that I mentioned at the beginning, that God has hidden himself in a trench coat of darkness, or he's put some impassable thing in your way and you can't get past it, and unless you get some light in your darkness, you feel like you're gonna die. Worship is a treasure in the darkness. And I'm discovering, and it listed some things there on your outline from the book of Job, I'm discovering that there are many things that you and I can praise God for, that we can worship him for, even in the darkness. We can worship him and praise him because he is a good and loving God, because he is all-powerful, that he notices every detail of our lives, that he is in control. We can praise and worship him because he has a plan for our lives, and we can praise and worship him because he will protect us. The prophet Habakkuk expressed his worship to God in the darkness in this way, in Habakkuk 3:17-19. And we've used it several times in this series because you have to know that this is one of those anchoring passages. This is one of those places I hang my soul. And if you don't have some of those verses yet, you need to. You need to find some verses where you can hang your soul so that it sits there and rests and it's not flowing free out in the confusion and the doubt of not knowing what's going on. But you've got some things you know. This is something I know. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will worship. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. What does a deer do? A deer climbs sure-footedly to the heights. And so God, my sovereign Lord that I trust, is making our feet like that of a deer so that we climb to the heights. See, you and I must choose to find the treasures of darkness. You and I must choose to search for the treasures. We must be open to the possibility. Some of you, as you're sitting here, as you're listening to this, honestly, your heart is very closed. The pain is deep. It's strong. It has you in a grip. And the idea that there could be treasures, that there could be anything redemptive hidden in the places of brokenness and sorrow and suffering in your life, you are not even open to it. You're not open to it. And for you to find the treasures, let me ask you, those who are closed to finding and looking for the treasures that God has hidden and concealed in the mess of your life, who do you think is going to find those treasures? The really great people, the really wealthy people, the really smart people, those who are really talented, those who are really gifted, those who have all the advantages in life, are those the ones that are going to find the hidden treasures? No. It is going to be the men and the women and the students and the elderly and the young. And it is going to be those who have said, God, I believe that you have concealed treasure in this darkness, that there are secret riches hidden in this suffering. And because I believe it, I will be open to that possibility. I will accept them when they come. I will search for them. I will receive them. I will embrace the treasures of darkness. You and I must choose to see him as he reveals himself as the God who is transcendent, as the God who is above it all. We must choose to see him that way. And whether he intervenes or not, whether this God who has the power to intervene, intervenes or not, you and I can know that he is close. He is as close as the breath that you take. He's as close as the next breath in your lungs. So I want you to read with me three verses here that I consider treasures in the darkness. I want you to read them out loud with me. Psalm 23:4. Read this. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guiding, guarding all the way. Stop right there. For those of you who don't even know it, but in the next days, weeks, months, you will be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, either yourself or someone you love or a friend or someone that you care about or a coworker. Death is around us all the time. It is. And there's that valley, that dark valley. And yet, rather than being fearful of that, we have this. Here is God revealing himself. I don't have to be afraid because you are close beside me, guiding, guarding all the way. A treasure in that dark valley of the shadow. Read with me Psalm 18:28. Lord, you have brought life to my light. My God, you light up my darkness. For some of you, you're having to say that in complete and total faith because you are so in the darkness. You don't even have the tiniest little ray of light. And for you, this is a passage you have to say with faith, believing that God will bring light to your darkness. And then Isaiah 50:10, read this with me. Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Some of you are struggling very deeply with depression, with anxiety. You are awake at night or you are sleeping too much. You are finding the weight of this darkness overwhelming, overpowering. Some of you are good at covering it up. Some of you just keep plugging. You're like Dora in Dory and Nemo. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I mean, you're just swimming every day. You're just out there. You just keep going. But inside, that darkness is encroaching ever more deeply upon you. And it's frightening and it's scary and it can leave you empty and you don't know what to do about it. And the Bible says, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God, and if I may add, and find community, people who will walk with you in the darkness, through the darkness, into God's light. Let's pray together. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that this would be the moment, that this would be your moment of surrender, of saying yes to Him, so that you too can trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. Father, we are here before you, just ordinary people who walk through ordinary days. There's some good moments and there's some hard moments. There's some moments that we think could never, ever get any better. And there are moments that we think that we'll never recover from. God, to know that no matter what that darkness might look like for us, to know that you are there, you are close, you are personal, you are intimate, you call us by name, that you are the God who can intervene in those dark places, and that you are the God that has lovingly hidden in our darkness treasure, riches, that will make us spiritually healthy and wealthy enough to be able to fulfill the calling that you have on our lives. That's the kind of God we trust. That's the kind of God we love. That's the God we worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, listening friend, I hope you found comfort in Kay Warren's prayer and this message titled Finding Treasure in Darkness. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's program, both are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. I pray, I hope, I trust God had a blessing in store for you, as oftentimes there's great confusion, heartache, and you can be very discombobulated as you suffer, feel in the depths of despair, and find yourself in darkness. But we know we serve a good God, a great God who is sovereign, and nothing can happen outside of His permissive will. He loves you, He cares for you, and He calls on all of us to draw near to Him, as He will draw near to us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.